Hi there, this is Kimberly Oliver with Living From the Heart Radio, and I am so excited to be with you today. And you know, it's summertime and it is so fun. I don't know if you remember when your kids were small and you know, the kids get out of school, and I don't know about you, but I kind of get into the summer routine. You know, kids get out of school, you're out of your routine, the kids don't have to do anything until they go to camp and those kind of things, but I absolutely love summertime. My birthday's in June, and I celebrate the whole month of June and into 4th of July, so I pray that you're staying cool today. In Texas here, we are hot, hot, hot. You know, Texas will always surprise you, because one day it'll be hot, and the next day you may have a cool front, so you just never know. But it's so good to be with you today. Kimberly Oliver here with Living From the Heart. Well, I have some things I'm going to talk to you about today. And you know, so many people I talk to have gone through trials. They've gone through struggles. They've gone through things that, you know, that they just feel like they can't get through. And perhaps that's you today. You know, as we've talked about before, Living From the Heart is a lot of conversations that we talk about what people go through. And I try to be very authentic so that you can relate to this, find yourself in a story, and have strength and hope to move forward. Because if we're not broadcasting hope, what are we doing, right? I mean, you have to broadcast hope to get to the other side, because without hope, people perish, the Bible says. So today I want to broadcast some hope to you. Have you ever gone through something and gone through a season, and the season just went on and on and on and on? You know, I've done that. I'm sure you have. I'm 57 years old, and I've had an opportunity to go through many, many seasons that I didn't know how they were going to end. I was at a place of, my gosh, you know, the scripture I shared with you in Jeremiah 15, where it says, when is my pain going to be quit being so perpetual? And you know, sometimes we feel like that. We feel like, my gosh, is this ever going to end? And you know, there is a person in the Bible, his name is Joseph. And if you would like to go and read the story, it's in Genesis 37, and it goes to about chapter 45. But the whole story of Joseph is one of my favorite. You know, if you've ever dealt with rejection and abandonment and those kind of things, this is a story you really need to get a hold of. Because Joseph was a guy, he was a young guy, and he had older brothers, and Joseph was the favorite. In fact, his father loved him so much, he made him a very special coat. It was the coat of many colors. And Joseph was like the favorite child of the father. Well, Joseph, you know, was going about his day, doing his daily work, and he had gone to bed one night, and he had a dream. And in this dream, it showed that his brothers would be bowing down to him and serving him. And he went, and he was so excited about it. He thought, oh, this is such a cool dream, because he had a vivid dream. And he went and shared the dream with his brothers, and his brothers became kind of jealous of Joseph, because they're like, who is this little kid telling us that we're gonna do this or do that for you? And his pride, the brothers had much pride, like, we will never bow down to you, that is not gonna happen. But the fact that he was his dad's favorite, and that Joseph just had this way about him to go into life and just plunge ahead and do what was right. He just had this thing about his character. He was solid in character. And I believe Joseph had the gift of faith, because somehow Joseph knew that everything was going to turn out no matter what happened. I want you to read that story in Genesis 37. It's one of my favorite. So Joseph's brothers were really jealous of him. They fumed at him. Well, Joseph had another dream and shared it with the whole family. And they all kind of like, Joseph, okay, come on with your dreams. They all thought he was just, you know, out of his mind, or he just, I don't know what they thought. But the Bible did say that they daunted at him, like, what are you talking about, Joseph? They didn't believe him in his dreams. So one day, Joseph was looking for his brothers. And so he went out to the man in the field and he said, where are my brothers? I'm looking for them. And the man that was probably a ranch hand tending to the fields, he actually went, he said, they're over there, they're at this other place doing something or another. And he told Joseph where they were. So Joseph went to find them. Well, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they immediately began to plot. They said, let's get him and let's throw him in the hogs, let's kill him. Well, when Joseph got there, his brothers, one of his brothers, Reuben, did not feel peace about it. They said, we really can't kill him. But we could take his coat, dip it in blood, and say he got killed so they wouldn't know that we killed him. But then the brothers began to have a conscience about them, and they said, no, he's our brother. We can't kill him. So by the time Joseph got there, they took Joseph, and they saw this Mennonite coming down the road, and they said, I know, we can sell Joseph to him. So basically, they sold him into slavery. And, can you imagine what Joseph felt then? Here's this guy with this big family. He has a great dad. He was his favorite. Joseph had a good attitude about life, and he was happy. I just sensed that he was happy. He was a happy guy. And when his brothers hated him so much, they wanted to get rid of him, and that was rooted in jealousy. They were so jealous of him. They couldn't embrace him, embrace his gift. If they could have embraced him, they would have been a part of his story, but they weren't able to embrace him. There are people that come into your life that maybe perhaps you may be tempted to be jealous of and you just don't like them. I want to encourage you to maybe take a different look at that and maybe embrace their gift and see how you can help their gift. And God just may bless you for that, according to the story and the way it turned out for Joseph anyway. So let's get back to Joseph. So he was sold into slavery from the Mennonites, and then the Mennonites sold him to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh bought Joseph and began to do all these things for him, and he began to prosper in everything he did, and he began to get favor, and Pharaoh gave him everything on his land. He said, you own everything as far as you have the right to do anything. He gave him management over all his wealth. So Joseph, mined his wealth. He multiplied it. He did so many good things for him, and he continued to get promoted. Well, one day, another trial. So Joseph was already sold by his brothers, so he lost his family. So that's one rejection. Well, then Potiphar's wife thought Joseph was really handsome, and she wanted to seduce him. It says it right in the Bible. You can go read the story for yourself. But Potiphar's wife was a woman that must have been lonely or whatever, but all the maids and all the hands were gone one day, and Joseph had walked in doing what he does, his normal duties, and she said, I want you to lay with me. And Joseph said, no, you're a married woman. Your husband has given me all this responsibility of everything he owns except for you. And she kept begging him, and she grabbed him, and he slipped out of his coat and ran away. Because Joseph knew that wasn't a good thing to do. She was married to his boss, the man that pays him and gives him a salary. And Joseph's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because Joseph was a man of character. He did what he said he was going to do. When he put his mind to something, whether it was a job, whatever situation it was, Joseph always did the right thing. Always. And God was watching him. So Joseph fled from the wife. Well, later, when the husband got home, he came into the room, and the wife said, that servant boy that you hired tried to rape me. Here's his coat. I kept his coat and escaped from him. Well, immediately, the man was furious, as any husband would be, right? He was furious, and he ordered for Joseph to be thrown into prison. So here we go. Here's another little second thing that happened to Joseph. So he got his life right back together. He prospered. He was on top of the world. This happened with the wife. The wife lied. Joseph did not try to seduce her. Joseph was trying to get away from her, but because he had this anointing on him, she was drawn to him. He was a handsome man, the Bible says. And then he fled from her, and then she lied. So this is, again, where he's being betrayed. So not only was he rejected, abandoned by his family, now he was actually betrayed. Somebody just lied. So Joseph was thrown into prison. And I think about Joseph's story, and I cannot imagine if all those things had happened to me, what I would have been feeling. Because Joseph just went into prison, and he just did what he was supposed to do. He did whatever chores he was to do. And then two other men were in there. It was the baker and the other guy. They had a dream. And the guys were talking in the cell, and they said, "So Joseph, we had this dream and we don't know what to interpret." So Joseph, because he had the gift of interpreting dreams, told them about their dreams. And again, this began to give momentum around Joseph, and he was able to be promoted again, because eventually another person had a dream and Joseph had to do that. You know, Joseph continued to walk out his dreams. He continued to walk uprightly with God, and he never gave up. He never had a bad attitude. The Bible does not say any time that he got a hard heart, or he was negative, or he betrayed anybody. I want to encourage you to read that whole story, and it's in Genesis 35. It is such a great, great story of faithfulness and doing what's right and being of a man of character. It is amazing. So the end of the story, this is what I want to tell you. There was a dream, and I believe it was Potiphar's dream, that there was going to be, he gave him a dream, and Joseph's interpretation was there's going to be 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of good, and then 7 years of famine. So there's not going to be any food for 7 years. So Potiphar told Joseph to get everything together and to... Pharaoh told Joseph to get everything together, and because he had found favor now that he interpreted his dream. He interpreted his dream, and now he thought he was a hero. And so the second dream of there's going to be a famine in the land, it's going to be for 7 years. That famine caused them to start managing their food, and they started harvesting and managing the food and saving it for later so they would have enough for their people. And so Joseph was in charge of all this, and Joseph did a fabulous job. It said he prospered, everything was abundant, the cattle was good, and Joseph had stored up a fortune for his owner. So when the famine came, Joseph was feeding his people, and they continued to provide food for his people. Well, back at home, the brothers found out that there was food there, that there's food there, and you need to go there and get food. And they didn't know that Joseph was the one in charge of it. So they traveled. They took their bags and they took money. They went there, and Joseph saw his brothers. He saw them and he recognized them, but his brothers did not recognize that it was Joseph. And so when they brought their bags, Joseph ordered the people to fill their bags and put their money back in their bags and to send them back home. And when they got on the road, they realized that, you know, our money is still here. Why are we, you know, why do we still have this money? And it was quite amazing that they got home. And when they went back a second time, there's a whole story in this, and I don't have time to go into the whole story, but their younger brother, they said, bring your younger brother, because he was left at home, but Joseph wanted to see his brother. And Joseph also asked them about their family, and they said they have a father and they have a younger brother. But the whole time the brothers were talking to Joseph, they did not know that was going on. I mean, they just didn't know. So when their brothers got back, their father got back and said, you know, I want you to go back to that land and I want you to get more food. You need to get more food for us. And so the brothers went back and they took their brother Benjamin. And the whole story is based around trust, because Joseph definitely had to get past some of the things with his brothers once he revealed himself. But long story short, you can read the story, because I want to get to another point. But bottom line, Joseph's brothers returned the second time after leaving their brother, Benjamin, and after all of that, and finally identified his brothers. And then Joseph set up a place for the father and gave them food and saved his family after his family had abandoned him. And his father, of course, was so excited, because his father mourned that Joseph was dead and he didn't think he would live. And it's just an amazing story. The whole reason I paraphrase that story, and I want you to go back and read it for yourself, because it's got a lot of details in there. But you know, sometimes we go through rejection, We go through betrayal. We go through abandonment. We go through hurt. We get through, I mean, somebody could have tried to kill you and you may want to hurt them. You know, I mean, there's so many things in life that we go through, but it will fall in one of those categories of abandonment, rejection, all those things. And especially with family, you know, when you have a father wound or a mother wound, you've been rejected by your family. Those things really hurt you when you're trying to receive love or give love. Because you just, it's just a protective mechanism. If we've got all that hurt inside of us, it's really hard for us to receive love or believe that love is real. I mean, we could think, oh, this is wonderful, but is it real? I know I've done that. I have thought, is this real when it's maybe a little bit different? Is this real? But then I've had things that were totally fake that I felt was real. And I'm sure we all have done that. Because there's different things out there that are really good disguisers of what, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that. So sometimes he'll dress up in a life that looks pretty and looks all this other stuff, but maybe that's not what you're dealing with. And it's deceit, because we can be deceived so easily. You know, in the story of Joseph, I'm always encouraged because I know that myself, I've gone through abandonment as a child. I've gone through betrayal as an adult, as a teenager. And, you know, I have had some severe, severe wounds of reject and heartbrokenness. And, you know, I always go back to this story with Joseph, because Joseph continued to keep his heart right. His heart was right. He walked in love. He always did what was right. He served whoever he could. If somebody had a dream and they wanted that dream to be interpreted, he used his gift that God gave him to interpret their dreams and to help them understand what was going on in their life. That was a gift that God gave Joseph, and Joseph used his gift. You know, Joseph could have had a hard heart. He could have said, you know what? My family rejected me. This crazy wife lied about me. You know, he could have said all these things and said, I'm not doing anything, because a hard heart will keep you from walking in your gift. But what Joseph did, he used his gift and he continued to be a blessing. He continued to love. He continued doing all these things. And in the end, God blessed him and restored everything. God even blessed him enough so he could be a blessing to those who once hated him. I want you to think about that. If someone had thrown you into a pit and left you for dead or sold you into slavery, and then there was a famine in a land and they came back to you and they were starving, I want you to be honest with yourself right now. Would you be willing to feed them if you were totally blessed and they were your family, but they hurt you, rejected you, they tried to kill you, but then they ended up selling you? Could you walk in and say, you know what? I've been blessed. I'm going to bless you. Could you do that? I want you to think about that long and hard. Could I do that? If someone tried to kill me, took away everything I had, and left me for dead, sold me into slavery, and then they came into a place where they had no food and nowhere to go, would I be willing to love them, forgive them, and be a blessing to them? Well, if your answer was, well, no way, I sure would not tell them to get their own food. That should be a check for you to say, you know what? Maybe I need to check my own heart. Because here's the thing, my friend. If you love Jesus, and I know you do, or maybe you're growing in that love, maybe you don't know what that love looks like. But if you love Jesus, and we are made in his image, and Genesis says that we are made in the image of God. If that is the truth, and you're made in his image, we have to act like God. We are his children. I'm his daughter. You're his daughter, son. We are his children. So we should act like our father. So if you thought about that scenario and thought in your heart, thought, no way, man, I wouldn't give him the time of day. If you thought that, I want to encourage you today to really take a look at that and ask yourself why. Which, you know, I know we all could say, well, I would do this and I would do that, but none of us have walked through what Joseph walked through. And maybe you have. Maybe you have walked through a season like that where you've been rejected and you've had to face those people. Maybe you have, and maybe you haven't had the choice to bless them or curse them. Maybe you just forgot about them, but you have this hole in your heart that if their name is mentioned, you think anger, you think forget them. That's a heart condition. You have to protect your heart. You know, unforgiveness, I think, is one of the biggest thieves of our destiny. I think having a hardened heart and not being able to forgive somebody is probably the biggest killer of our soul. Because you know what happens, and I know there's been proven facts that people who have cancer and get really sick, deathly ill, that some of the cancer cells in Ruth is due to hatefulness and unforgiveness in your heart, because you're, when you don't have hope and you have all this hate and anger in your heart, it is so unhealthy for your spirit. And I think that just kind of kills away at the joy, because if you don't have joy and you don't have happiness and all the things that the Father gives us so freely, if you don't have that, what are you living for? I mean, I cannot wait to get up in the middle of the day or in the morning and sing praises to the Lord and know that God is such a good, good Father. And I know that no matter what I go through, He has been good for me. Now you may say, well, Kimberly, you don't know what I've been through. Well, my friend, I don't know what you've been through, but I know what I've been through. I know that I've been through abuse, sexual abuse, abandonment, rejection. I've been on my own at a very early age. I've had to do some survival through my 57 years, and not one time has God left me. And some people say, well, if God was real, why did He let that happen? Well, you know, I can't answer all the questions of why things happen, but what I do know is that God is faithful to get you through that destiny. He's faithful to get you through that season and turn it around for your good if you will allow Him. So many times we get so hard and we get so stubborn, like, no, I am not forgiving them. And that's rooted in bitterness. Bitterness will kill you, my friend. If you sense after listening today that you may have some bitterness in your life, I want to encourage you, don't let bitterness settle in. It's not good. It's not a good thing. It never, ever, ever have I seen anybody produce a good and healthy life that God wants to give you with bitterness. Typically, when I see bitterness, I see people, you know, dying alone. They have no family. Everybody's gotten away from them because nobody wants to be around them because they're so bitter. Because you can't have bitterness and love in the same heart. You just can't. Because one's going to outweigh the other. When you want to love, you're going to hold back because you're bitter. And when you want to be bitter, your love's not going to show up because bitterness is winning because you got more bitterness than love. So you have to walk in an attitude of love. And you know, and it's not hard, my friend. All you have to do, and we've done this before, but anything that you're holding on to, any person that you're mad at, I mean, think about Joseph's brothers. I mean, he had several of them. So all of his brothers, except for one, I think Reuben was the only one that didn't do that. But think of his brothers and his father. His father didn't abandon, but his father wasn't happy with him about the tree. So he didn't celebrate his gift, but he was still favored by his father. But think about that. If you had not seen your family in years, meaning because his brothers didn't recognize him, his own brothers did not recognize Joseph. Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. So there had to be a lot of time, and I need to go back and look at the story to see how much time was there. But there was a lot of time that he was without any family, and he was just working, going into his next season. God would put him in a situation. He would he had an opportunity to do right or wrong, to keep a good attitude. He kept a good attitude and he moved forward. Every situation Joseph was in, he chose to do the right thing. He chose to love and to walk in love and to bless others. And I just think that example, you know, I would rather be a Joseph than someone that was bitter and a Pharisee and some of the naysayers that he was dealing with. I just wouldn't want to be that. So I want you to do a heart checkup. You know, you may not know if you have unforgiveness, but you may think, you know, I might have some unforgiveness. I'm not sure, but maybe I do. And if that is the case, ask God. Say, God, would you reveal my heart to me? And would you show me, Father, if there's anything that I need to do to forgive people? Do I need to forgive that cousin, that dad, that mom, that coworker, that boyfriend, that girlfriend? Do I need to forgive them? Am I holding anything in my heart that's keeping me from walking to everything that you have for me? You know, and God may reveal it to you instantly, and He may not reveal it to you right away, but if He begins to reveal something to you, just say, Father, teach me what I can do to forgive them. And you know, by forgiving someone, sometimes you can go to them face to face if you need to. If they're not living anymore, of course you can't do that. But you could write a letter and you could burn it after you write it. You could just confess with your mouth, Father, I just want to forgive this person. I forgive them for this, this, and this. And Father, I just speak blessings over them and I ask you to bless them. And forgive me, Father, for holding on hate for all these years. Father, I just bless them. You can do that. You could write a letter and mail it to them. You could have a phone conversation. You know, with my stepfather, I had a phone conversation and I told him that I forgave him. So you can work on forgiveness however it works out for you. But I'm telling you, my friend, it doesn't do it for the other person, but it will do everything for you. And what God does in the other person is between God and them. That's really not your business. But what God does in your heart with you and God is everything to do with you. Because God wants to bless you. He wants you to live in a happy, happy place where that you trust him. Does that mean your life is going to be perfect? No, it doesn't. The Bible also says that we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations, but God is there with us all the time. If he's there to turn everything for our good, even though the season may be hard, he's there with us. You know, it's just like, you know, when you were a child, if you had a good father and your father, you know, put you up on this big high chest and said, here, Kimberly, jump. Back then, I probably trusted to jump off that chest at 3 years old into one of my dad's arms, whatever dad I was jumping into. But you know, if you didn't have trust and someone said, here, jump, you would be afraid. Well, God wants to be our father where we can get on any mountaintop and he says, jump. And you just jump free-handed and you just know that he's going to catch you. That is the kind of faith that God wants us to have, that no matter what he asks us to do, that you use wisdom, you pray, and if you don't feel total peace about it, pray until you get peace. You have to lead with peace. God is going to give you peace. You may be scared, but you have a peace. I've been that way before. When God told me to go to Bible school when I was 40, I was scared to death, but I had peace because I didn't have money in the bank. I didn't have a huge savings account. I was a single mom raising two boys, and they were young. But God said, go, and I went, and God provided all my needs. Were there some days where I was like, dear God, I had $5 in the bank, and I didn't know how I was going to make it? Yeah, I had several of those days. But God always, on the other side, here I am, you know, 17 years later, and God has been good to me. Has everything been perfect? No. But it's the faith that I go to God every time there's a situation. I go to God and say, God, I need you to help me with this. And I call him Papa. I call him Papa God because he's my dad. He is my everything. I call God, I need you to help me. I need you to do this for me. I need this property to sell. I need you to help me with this, with understanding this. I need wisdom. If you depend on God for everything you do, God is faithful to meet your every need, your every need. So my friend, if you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're saying, God, Kimberly, that sounds so awesome. I wish I had that, but I just don't have that kind of relationship with God. Well, you know what? It's real easy. All you have to do is say, God, I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to bless me and teach me how to be your child. I give you my life today in Jesus' name. And my friend, continue talking to God every single day. Get yourself a Bible. Get yourself a Bible that you can read. You know, King James is a very traditional, very thou spoken. It's hard to understand. Get yourself a Living Bible or a Message Bible so you can really understand the heart of God. And try to find yourself a good Bible-based church, a church that teaches good word and worship. And if you'll begin your journey with God, I promise you, he'll never let you down. Well, I pray you prayed that prayer today and that you became a brand new believer. And I'm excited for you if you did, because this is a brand new day. The Bible says that all things are made new. And that is the truth. All things are new. If you prayed that prayer today, or if you've recommitted your life to Jesus, today is a brand new day for all of us. We can start new every single day because God loves you. He wants to be a blessing. He wants to be your father. He wants to be involved in every area of your life. Well, God bless you today. This is Kimberly Oliver from Living from the Heart. I'm so glad you joined me, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. May you have a good, good day. And remember, this program airs again at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. If you didn't catch all of it, you can always catch it again on HLE Radio. So God bless you. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.